Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Mirtz Hashem, we're going to finish off the ninth parak of Gozel Eitzim, and Mirtz Hashem, start the next parak. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Gloria and Abe Reitchik are donating, sponsoring today's share in memory of Abe's father, Tzvi Ben Yaakov Simcha Levi, Tzvi Reitchik, who today is the Shloshim Nevach for his Patira. We're also learning Lili Nishmas Albert Coulter, Rav Avram Ben Moshe HaKohen. Also, Lili Nishmas, a longtime listener of my Shiurim, Jeff Kunin's father-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Mintz, Chavi's father, Rav Moshe Avram Ben Yechiel. Also, Lili Nishmas Ann Applebaum, Chana Zlata Bas Reb Zev. And we continue to learn for the safety and the security of all the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael. They should be successful in all of their endeavors. There shouldn't be any casualties, Rechmana Litzlan. Those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one, Bimheira. And the Chatufim should be brought back in good health, Bimheira. Should be Shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph, quoting the Mishnah, the second line from the top, Kuf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph. Nosanes HaKesef Lihor V'chule. In the Mishnah yesterday, we learned that there were 24 Mishmaros, and we give the first two as the examples of the dinim that we're going to be talking about with the Mishmaros in terms of bringing the money first when you steal, and you then are moda after you swore falsely that you, in fact, swore falsely. So you have to bring the principal, pay back the principal. You have to bring a chamishis. You have to pay a certain penalty, a fifth of the outside, a fourth from the inside, and you have to bring your korban osham. So the din is that you must go and bring the principal, pay back the principal to the kohanim. We're talking here about gzela of a ger. The ger has no relatives, so the decree from the Torah is that the money that you would have had to pay back to the ger, if the ger was around, or his yorshim, if they were around, but this ger has no yorshim, so therefore the money goes to the kohanim, and it must go to that mishmor that is on, and the money must be brought first to the mishmor before you're allowed to go and bring the korban. We said that the chamishis, the additional fifth penalty, should also be brought, but that's not ma'akev. So that's what we learned in the Mishnah, that if Yehorav, which was the first of the 24 mishmaros, received the money, and then subsequently the second Mishmor, Yedaya, received the Korban Asham, everything is done right. Yotza, the person fulfilled his obligation. But if it was done the other way around, if in fact he gave the Asham to the first Mishmor, Yehorov, and then he gave the money to Yedaya, so then it depends. If the Asham has not yet been sacrificed, so then the Mishnah had said that you have to go and give the second Mishmor, Yedaya, the Asham, and let them go and bring it. But if not, if the Asham had already been sacrificed, so then the Ganav has to go bring a new Korban Asham because the money had been given after the Korban Asham had been brought, and that's not allowed. So that's in a nutshell what we said in the Mishnah. The Gemara now brings down a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan. Nosan Asham LeYehorav. The Braisa says, if you gave the Asham to the first Mishmar, Yehorav, and then the Kesef Yedaya, and you gave the money to the second Mishmar Yedaya, so then Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham. So then the Braisa tells us a different thing that we had in the Mishnah. The Braisa tells us, and this we'll see is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham, that the Mishmar number two, Yedaya, has to go bring the money to Mishmar number one, Yehorav, because that's where the Asham is. Yehorav got the Asham, so the Asham hasn't been sacrificed yet, so you have a choice. Does the Mishmar number one, Yehorav, give the Asham to Mishmar number two, Yedaya? Or does Mishmar number two, Yedaya, give the money to Mishmar number one, Yehorav? So, Divrei Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's opinion is, Yazir Ketzef Eitzel Asham. The Asham is the critical factor. Who has the Asham? And the second Mishmar, who has the money, should go give the money to the first Mishmar that has the Asham. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Chacham say, like our Mishnah, the Chacham Omrim, Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesef, that the Asham that is in the possession of the first Mishmar should be kansed, and they should have to go give that Asham to the second Mishmar because they inappropriately took the Asham when they should have first taken the money and only then accepted the Asham. Now, what exactly is the case that we're talking about? Hechi Dami, what are the facts over here? If you're telling me, that during the week that Yehorav was on, the first Mishmar in the cycle was on, that's when the Asham was given to them. And then in the second week, the Kesef in the second week was given Liyadaya, Bimishmarto the Yadaya. So they each got what they were entitled to during the week that they were on. So the Asham, which was to be given to the Mishmar that was on, was given to the Mishmar that was on. And the money, when it was given to the Mishmar that was on. So then, the Gemara says, Zeh Zocha Bishalom. Why should either one have to go return it to the other one? After all, when Yehorav, the first Mishmor, got the Ashim, they were entitled to it. And when Yedaya, the second Mishmor, got the money, they were entitled to it. So why should either one have to return it to the other? So Amar Rava, Rava says, because Hachamai Eskini, you know what the case was? Not exactly the way we just said it. Yehorav got the Ashim during their week on, and Yedaya got the money during their week on. No. The case that we're discussing, the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, goes as follows. The Yahav Oshim Yehorav Bimishmarto the Yehorav. That yeah, Yehorav, the first Mishmar, got the Oshim during their week on. However, the money that was then given to Yedaya, the Kesef Yedaya, wasn't given during the second week when Yedaya was on. It was given to the people of Yedaya Bimishmarto the Yehorav. It was given during the first week when Yehorav was on. So Rav Yehuda's opinion is, listen, Yedaya shouldn't have accepted the money. Yehuda Savar, given the lav mishmeris the Yedaya he, it wasn't their week on. They should not have taken the money. And therefore, it is Yedaya's fault for taking the money. So the Yedaya can sinan lay. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, I got to cancel Yedaya and make them give the money to where the Oshim was appropriately given to the Mishmar of Yehorav, Mishmar number one. And therefore, review the Paskin Silkoch, Yachzer, Kesef, Eitzel Oshem. So the money goes and follows where the Oshem is, because that was Yehorav's week. Whereas the Rabbanim disagree. Rabbanim Savri, even in this situation, Shelo Kedin Hu Ovud B'nei Yehorav, the Kiblu Oshem, Mikame Kesef. That the fault here still lies with the people of the first Mishmar Yehorav. They should not have taken the Oshem before they took the money. The money has to be given before you can bring the Oshem. So they should have said, no, we're not taking the Oshem. First bring the money, and only when you bring the money will we take the Oshem. And therefore, the Chachamim, the Rabbanim, they hold, Hilkach Lididhu Kansinilu. Therefore, the Knas, the penalty, so to say, is on the Mishmar of Yehorav. And therefore, the Yachzer Oshem, you have to bring the Oshem to Eitzel Kesef, to where the money is with the people of Yedaya. Okay. Now the Braisa continues. Tanya, we learned another Braisa. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe tells us, Lidivrei Rebbe Yehuda, to understand Rebbe Yehuda Shita, he says, Im Kidnu B'nei Yehorav, V'ikrivu Es Ha'ashem, if the people of Yehorav got the Ashem, and they incorrectly went and brought that Ashem before the Kesef was given, so then we said that the Ashem is not good. Yachzer V'yovi Ashem Acher, the Ganav, who's trying to do tshuva, has to go bring a new Ashem. After the money is given to the next shift, let's say to Yedaya, they now still have to bring an Oshem, even though their Oshem was brought, because that Oshem is Pasul. And therefore, they have to bring a new Oshem, V'yakrivuhu b'nei Yedaya, and let the second shift, who has the money, now go and bring that carbon. Now, what is the status of the first carbon that was brought? V'zachu halalu b'mashvi yodan. So, Rav Yehuda explains, according to Rebbe, that that carbon, while it's Pasul, the people in the first shift in Yehorav are zocha to that carbon. Now, what does it mean, they're zocha to that carbon? It's pasul. And that's what the Gemara says, Amrei, lemai chazei, ashem pasulu. It's pasul. So what exactly are they getting? So Amar Rava, Rava explains that they're talking about the hide, li'oro. Yes, the carbon is pasul, and it's not allowed to be eaten. But after all, there is a hide over here, and that hide is able to be taken in by the people of the Mishmar of Yehorav and divided up for whatever that hide is worth. Another bright Tanya, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe tells us, again, Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda, his understanding of Yehuda is as follows. Im Kayam Oshem, Yazir Oshem, Eitzel Kesef. Now, this is exactly what we learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, what's Rebbe telling us? That's exactly what Rebbe Yehuda said in the Mishnah. If Yehorav, the first Mishmar, still has the Oshem, they didn't sacrifice it, so then the opinion of the Chachamim, the opinion of the Mishnah was, so that Oshem goes to the hands of the second Mishmar that got the money. Yachzer Oshem Eitzel Kesef. The Oshem follows the money. So Yehorav gives up the Oshem and they give it to Yedaya. But there's a problem. That is not Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. That was the opinion of the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So how could Rebbe say that this is the opinion of Yehuda? And the word says, well, Rebbe Yehuda, Yachzer Kesef Eitzel Oshem Islay. Rebbe Yehuda in the Braisa, we brought down that he said that the people of Yedaya, the second Mishmar, had to go give the money to where the Oshem is in the possession of the first Mishmar, where the possession of the Oshem is. So therefore, the money has to go from Yedaya to Yehorav, from Mishmar 2 to Mishmar 1. Not like Rebbe just said in the name of Yehuda, that the Oshem goes from Mishmar 1 to Mishmar number 2, where the money is. So one says, no. Rebbe is telling us a very interesting idea within the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Hach, my skin, you know what we're talking about. Kigon dinofak mishmarto di Yehorav, v'lo tavu, that during the week of the Mishma of Yehorov, when Yedaya got the money, Yehorov got the Asher, Yedaya got the money, they should have protested and said, hey, that money belongs to us. They should have gone to the Beis Din, in the Beis HaMikdash, and said they inappropriately took these funds. They shouldn't have gone to the Mishma that's coming on next week. They should have gone to our Mishma, which is on this week. And therefore, they should have been Toveya that money in Beis Din. However, the week went by, and they weren't Toveya the money. Kigon din nofak mishmarat to the earth. The week of Yehoru's being on call was done. And they didn't answer the money. So what Rebbe is saying, that now, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. They basically were moichel on their right to get the money, and therefore, now that the money is appropriately sitting in the hands of Yedaya, the second Mishmar, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they have to go and give the Asham. Yehoram has to go give that Asham, which hasn't yet been sacrificed, to Yedaya. That's the Chiddush that Rabbi is saying within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, another bride, so Tanya Idach, Amar Rabbi Ledivri Yehuda. Again, Rabbi's explaining the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We had said, Im Kayam Asham, if the Asham is still around, Yachzer Kesef Eitzel Asham. That the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that the money goes to where the Asham is. So the second group, Yedaya, would have to give the money to the first group, Yehora, because they have the Asham. So again, the Gemara says, Pshita, Hachi Yisla. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. What is Rabbi adding by saying, this is my Ledivrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the din? That was Pasha Pshat. Gemara says, no, it's not Pasha Pshat in the following case. Hachi Mayaskina, the Chiddush of Rabbi within the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. Kigon dinofik mishmar tom dahani udahani. Not only did Yehorov not go and demand the money from Yedaya during their week that they were on, but Yedaya, during the week that they were on, did not demand the Asham from Yehorov. So the first week went by, and Yehorov, the week that was on, didn't ask for the money from Yedaya. They got it inappropriately. And the second week, the people of Yedaya, who had the money, did not go and be Toveya, the Asham, from the people of the first week, Yehorov. Now, both weeks have gone by, below Tavu. Neither Yehorov was Toveya the money from Yedaya, and neither was Yedaya Toveya the Asham from Yehorov. So now, you're beyond both of their being on call. So what do you do now? Ma'al detema, I might have thought, Achule Gabi Hadadi, that each of them has basically been moichel on their rights. So Yehorov said, okay, we don't get the money. Yedaya said, okay, we don't get the Asham. And therefore, you let Yehorov keep the Asham, and you let Yedaya keep the money, and no, the money has now been given, and next time Yehorov is on call, 22 more weeks later, when the cycle is done, and we start on the 23rd week, the new cycle again, so Yehorov will go, and then that's when there'll be sacrifice in the Asham. So the Chiddush of Rebbe within the Sheet of Rebbe Yehuda is no, Kamash Milan, the Amrina, we say, Rebbe says that this is Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, Kivin the Lo Tavi, Lihedro Beresha, even though they weren't Toveya it, according to Rebbe Yehuda, Im Kayim Asham, if that Asham is still around, so even though they weren't Toveya originally, Yachzer Kesef Eitzel Asham. The next time around, when Yehorov is ready to bring the Asham, they can be still Toveya, the money from Yedaya. That's the Chiddush that Rebbe is explaining within the Sheet of Rebbe Yehuda. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shamevi Gizela, Wachaloi V'Yasham V'Chule. We had said that the proper order is that you have to give the money, and then you can bring the Asham. Now, ideally, you should give the money, which includes the Keren, and the Chamishis, and the penalty fifth. But, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, as long as you gave the Keren, then you are allowed to go and sacrifice the Asham. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that that's the din? So, Amar Rava, Rava says, because the Pasuk says, Yomakra, Ha-Asham Ha-Mushav. So that tells us the Asham Hamushab. We said that was the Karen, and that was the principal. And then we said Hamushab, that was the Chamishis. And then it said, then you can bring the Elakipurim. Michlal, the Kesef Bereisha. So the Asham Hamushab, which was the Karen, and the Chomesh, so that has to come first. And then only afterwards do we go and sacrifice the Asham. But the Gemara now questions this. Amar, how will me Rabbanu l'Rava? Rava was the one that said this. So the Chachamim, they asked Rava, but wait a second, Elamayata. In another pasuk, he tells us, when you have a Karban Musaf to bring, you should go bring the Karban Musaf, but you should bring it after the Karban Tomid in the morning. Milvad Olas HaBoker, when it tells us that you have to go and bring the Musaf, so it says, in addition to the Olas HaBoker. But the way you just darshaned, meant that the money came first and only then milvad elakipurim, implying that the money came first and then the elakipurim. So in this situation, are you telling me that the carbon musaf precedes the carbon tamid in the morning? Milvad ola saboker. So after you bring the musaf, then you bring the carbon tamid in the morning. That's not true. Hachanami mechal the musaf and bereisha for tanya, but we learned in the brisa that that absolutely is incorrect. The carbon tamid is the first carbon that's brought in the morning. Carbon tamid of the morning, and then the carbon tamid shabeinu abayim is the last carbon that's brought of the day. They sandwich in all the carbonos of the day. The Braisa tells us that nothing can precede the bringing of the carbon tamid shel shachar. No carbon can go and precede that. There's some services in the Beis Hamikdash, like the Trumas Hadeshet, etc., that come before that, but no carbon is brought before the bringing of the carbon tamid shel shachar, the carbon tamid in the morning. And that's based upon the pasuk says, Tamil Omar, v'yorach oleha ha ola, the extra hay, v'amar rabba, the hay tells us ha ola means ola rishona, the ola that is brought first, which is the carbon tamid. So how can you tell me that milvad el kippurim means after the money is brought? So then milvad ola saboka should mean that the carbon tamid is brought after the carbon musaf, but that's incorrect. So rabba says, no, I was correct in my drush. Amalei, ana, the drush is not from milvad el kippurim. It's ana. I learned out me'asher yechaper bo nafgalei. It's that which will provide the atonement, which means va'adayin lo keeper. But until the money is returned, there is no kapara. So therefore, that's how we know that the money has to be returned first, and then you can go and get your kapara by bringing the carbon. Okay. Misha then said, that as long as he gave the Karen, even though he didn't give the Chomesh, so then you're allowed to go and bring the Asham. Tan Rabban, we learn the following Braisa. Now here, it's a different. Don't get mixed up between an Asham that is brought because of Me'ila versus the Asham that is brought because you swore falsely and you want to do Tshuva. So both of them have similar dins. You have to pay back Karen. You have the principal that has to be paid back. Then you have the penalty, which is the Chomesh, the fifth on the outside, the fourth the inside, and then each of them has a respective carbon ashram, the ashram that you bring for swearing falsely, and the ashram that you bring for doing me'ila. Me'ila, again, is when you take something, you usurp something from the Beis HaMikdash unintentionally, so then there's a me'ila, an ashram me'ila that has to be brought. So the dinim over here in the Braisa for the ashram me'ila are going to parallel the dinim that we have for the ashram that you bring when you swore falsely about the gzela. So minayin shim hevi me'ilaso v'lo hevi ashamo, the me'ilaso over here is referring to the principle that you paid back, that you usurp from the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we know that if a person paid back the principal, the Karen, then the Lohevi Ashamo, but he did not yet go and bring the Asham offering, or Ashamo, he brought the Asham offering, the Lohevi Miloso, but he didn't pay the principal, Shelo Yotza. He hasn't gotten his Kapara. He hasn't fulfilled his Kapara. For the Kapara that you need to get for doing Me'ila, it's not enough to just return the money but not bring the carbon. It's not enough to bring the carbon and not bring the money. You got to do both. How do we know that? Talmud Lomar, it says, Ba'el ha'asham v'nislach lo. It tells us the el and it says the asham. So you need both. You need the el and the asham. You need the principal to be paid back and you have to bring the carbon. That's how you know that for me'ila, you need both. U'minayin, and how do we know? Shimhevi ashamo. And how do we know that if you brought the Asham Me'ila, but you didn't yet go and bring the Me'ilaso, the principle, Shelo Yotza, because it says, Talmud Lomar, Be'el Ha'asham, Ha'asham Bichvar, that the Asham has to be, the principle has to be brought before you can go get the Kapara. That's how we darshan in this Brisa, the Psukim by Me'ila, very similar to the way we darshan them in the Psukim regarding the Asham that has to be brought when you swore falsely about a Geneva. Yochol kishem sha'ayil v'yosham ma'akvim kach chomesh ma'akev. Now, I might have thought that by Me'ila, just like we just brought down, that if you didn't bring the principle and you didn't go and bring the carbon, you're not Yotzei. So I might have thought, yochol kishem sha'ayil v'yosham ma'akvim, the principle and the carbon, asham are ma'akev, so too the chomesh, kach chomesh is ma'akev. No, Talmud Lomar, it says, be'el ha'asham v'nislach lo, I'll the Asham, the principal and the animal, the Asham, the Asham Me'ila, they're ma'akvin the Hektish. They are not going to allow you to have atonement for doing Me'ila on the Hektish, the Ein Chomesh Ma'akev. But the Chomesh, while it has to be brought, is not Me'akev. Now, the Gemara says we can learn something from each of them to the other one. We can learn from Me'ila to the Asham that you bring when you swore falsely about the Gneva, and we can learn from the Ashim that you swore falsely about to Me'ila. And the Me'ila is called Hekdish, and Hedjot is called the case of swearing falsely about the Gneva that you did. Now, the Yilamed Hekdish, you can learn the Me'ila Mehedjot from the din of the Gneva, and you can learn the Hedjot, you can learn the din of Gneva, you can learn something from Mehekdish, from the din of Me'ila. What is what? So Hekdish, Mehedjo, we can learn a din regarding Me'ila from Hedjo, from the case of Geneva, of swearing falsely and then atoning for it. So what do we do? Ma Asham, Dahasam, Karen. So the word Asham in regards to the Hedjo, in regards to the Geneva, we had darshened out that the word Asham there meant the actual Karen, and not the carbon. So too, af ashem dehacha. So too, the ashem that's referenced by Me'ila is referring to the keren and not the carbon. Elsewhere, both by Hedjot and by Hekdish, there's a separate statement regarding the ashem that you have to bring. So the word ashem means the principle in regards to the case of swearing falsely about the Gneva. That ashem there is talking about the principle. And so too, we learn it out by Hekdish, by Me'ila, that the word Asham in the Pasuk is actually referring to the principle, and vice versa. The Hedjot Mehekdish, we can learn out a din from Hekdish, from Me'ila, to the case of swearing falsely by the Geneva. And that is as follows. Ma Hekdish ain Chomesh Ma'akev. We just clearly had Pesukim that show that in regards to Me'ila, the Chomesh is required to be brought, but it's not Ma'akev. And once you bring the principle, you can bring your Asham and get your Kapara. So Ma Hekdish ain Chomesh Ma'akev, just like there by Me'ila, the Hekdish is not Ma'akev, so too we can learn out in regards to the false swearing by the Geneva, and then you're bringing your Asham, so Av Hedjot Nami ain Chomesh Ma'akev. Well, you have to bring the Chomesh. If you didn't bring the Chomesh, your carbon still can be accepted, just like by Me'ila. If you brought the principle, you can bring your Asham, so too by the case of swearing falsely by the Geneva. If you brought your principle, you can go and bring your carbon Asham, the Chomesh is not Ma'akev. With this, we conclude the beautiful ninth parak. Hagoz leitzim, hadron lecha goes leitzim, hadron lecha goes leitzim, hadron lecha goes leitzim. And now we begin the tenth parak, the parak of Hagozel Umachil. And we turn to Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Beis with the new Mishnah in the new parak. And the Mishnah tells us Hagozel Umachil es bonov. If a person, Rachmon al-Islan, goes and robs something, and then he gives the item that he robbed to his children, he feeds his children with the item that he robbed. Or v'hiniach lifneihem, or he dies, and as Rashi says, o sheiniach lifneihem hagizela, which is kayemes, or the Bach has the gear, so shehagzela kayemes, that this thing that he stole is still extant, it's still around. So in these situations, the children who have this, either because it was given to them, or because they inherited it, piturin milishalem, they don't have to go and give the item back to the original owner. The Gemara will discuss this, obviously, why not? However, v'im hayodavar sheyesh bo achrayis, but if it was something for which there was achrayis, for example, things that are like karka, so karka is something that if it's inherited by the orphans, nevertheless, that karka, which has responsibility to it, has achrayis to it, so therefore, there is a lien on it, so then that can be used and will it need to be used to go pay back the debts of the father or the Geneva in this situation. Okay, that's our Mishnah, a little bit enigmatic still, and we go right to the Gemara where we have the statement of Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chista says, Gozal, in a case where something was stolen, but the original owners were not yet mayayesh, they didn't yet give hope of getting it back. Yesh, a very, very important idea, which we discussed previously, and now here we're going to see it again. So if the person who was robbed, Reuven was robbed, lo nisyashu abalim, but Reuven did not give up hope of getting his stolen item back, and another person came along and took it from the Ganav. He purchased it from the Ganav, or if this is a person who inherits the Ganav when the Ganav dies, and this other person gets it, but the original Balaam had never given up hope. So Reuven had never given up hope, and when Shimon stole it, he says, I'm going to get that back. And if Shimon sold it to somebody else, or Shimon died and his children inherited it, Reuven said, I'm still going to get that back. He never gave up hope. So then, when Reuven is going to finally take them to court, so he has a choice. Rotsa mizegover. He can go and bring to court whichever one he thinks he'll be able to go and get it better from. So he has the right to bring Shimon to court, or he could bring, let's say Shimon sold it to Levi. He can bring Levi to court. How come? Because Kol Kama Delodis Yashua Balim Kirishu Se Demarikoi. Because he never gave up hope, so it's his, and he can go and be Toveya from whoever he wants to be Toveya from. Because the person who ate it, as Rashi says, Vizeh Shacholo Nase Kigozlo Mibalim. He now is standing in the place, if you wish, of the Ganav. So if Reuven thinks it'll be easier to go get it back from Levi, go get it back from Levi. If you think it's easier to go get it back from Shimon, go get it back from Shimon. And let them fight it out between them. Levi then has a tiny. He can go to Shimon. Hey, this guy took this from me, which I bought from you. You owe me the money. So let Levi go fight it out with Shimon. Reuven can go and litigate against whichever one of them he wishes to because he wasn't Miyayish. That's what Rav Chisda tells us. More questions this and says, wait a second, Tanan, our Mishnah said, Hagozul Machal is Bonav, Vinech Lefdam. If a person stole something and either he gave it to his children or he died and his children inherited it from him, Piturin Milashalev. They don't have to go and pay. Now, according to Rav Chisda, Reuven should be able to go to them. He could go to the Ganav or he go to the person who the Ganav gave it to or inherited it to. So to you, to the Rav Chisda, our Mishnah seems to go against our Mishnah's a Mishnah. Rav Chisda is a great Amora, but he's an Amora. How can you argue with the Mishnah? So Rav says, no. Rav Chisda says very simply, Omloch Rav Chisda, Ki Tan Yahil Yachayesh. Our Mishnah is talking about when the person who was robbed was Miyayish. He gave up hope. Oh, once he gave up hope, so then clearly it belongs in the Rishus of the Ganav, and therefore that's why Reuven can't go and get it back from the children of the Ganav or the inheritors of the Ganav. Mora now quotes the Mishnah. It says, "Iminiach lifneim piturim milashalem." That if in fact it was intact, it was extant, so they still do not have to go and pay that item back to Reuven. Rami Bar Chama says, "Zoso maris." This comes to teach us that this din, as Rashi says, "Viniach lifneim piturim." This comes to teach us that Rishus Yoresh. That the inheritors are considered no different than a purchaser. So in my original example, Reuven was robbed by Shimon, and then Shimon sold it to Levi. There's no difference between Shimon dying and his children inheriting it. They're just like the Lokeach Levi, and if it was after Yeush, so then Reuven can't go and get it back from them. So that is Rami Bar Chama's understanding. Rava disagrees. Rava Omar, no. Rishus Yoresh, Lav Kirishus Lokeach Tomi. Rava says, yes, Levi is Levi. He purchased it from Shimon. But the children who inherited from Shimon, they're not like a Lokeach. They're not like Levi. Nafkamina would be if the item is still there. So according to the opinion of Rami Bar Chama, you can't go and get it back from Levi. You can't go and get it back from the children. Whereas according to Rava, you can't go get it back from Levi, the purchaser, but you would be able to go and get it back from the children. So, Hochamai Askinen. So why doesn't our Mishnah say that you can get it? This seems to be a kasha on Rava. So it's talking about Kishah Cholim. It's no longer extant. So therefore, they used it up. If they used it up, so then they are not responsible for the debts of their father. If there's no achrayis on the debt of their father, the geneva of their father. Moses says, wait a second. You're telling me this is the case of Shah Cholim. So wait, Ha Miktani Sefer. We keep on reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Im Haya Dover Shiesh Bo Achrayis Chayavim L'Shalem. The Mishnah then stated at the end of the Mishnah that if it was something for which there was the Achrayis, then the Yisomim, the Yorshim, would in fact have to go and pay. Michlal, that implication is, Dereisha B'Gzeilo Kayemis Askina. They were talking about where the item was still extant, not like Rava says, Kisha Cholim. So what's going on? It seems to be contradictory to what Rava said. So Amalach Rava says not contradictory. This is what the Mishnah is telling us. Im hiniach lohem aviyem achrayus nechosim chayovim l'shalem. If, in fact, there was leaned property that they inherited, so then this leaned property, the property has achrayus, is responsible for all the debts of their father. So then they have to go and take from this property to pay back the ganav. But not that the item is around. The item itself, Kisha Cholim, is talking about, according to Rava, that it was eaten up. More questions? It says, wait a second. Rebbe, to his son, Reb Shimon Berebbe, and he said as follows. Lo dover sheyesh bo achrayis mamish. The Mishnah doesn't mean something like karka that actually has real achrayis on it, but the Mishnah is talking about something that's like achrayis, ela afilu para v'choresh ba. Or chamor u'mechamer achrov chayov l'hazim mnei kvod avien. Rebbe taught his son, Rebbe Shimon ben Rebbe, that the Mishnah is not talking about karka. It's not talking about real achrayis type of a property, but it's talking about a para that was well known to be, oh, that's the para of this Yorshim's father. This was the para that he used to plow with. Or this was the donkey, the chamor, that he used to go and lead things with. The mechaber achrav. He would follow it and use it to go and carry packages. And the reason why the Yisomim, the Yorshim, have to go and return it is because Chayov l'hazim mipnei kvod avihen. Everybody's going to say, oh yeah, you see that para? Oh, you see that donkey that those children have? Yeah, that was their father's, and their father's a ganav. And he never returned the money that he stole. And that donkey or that para should have gone to pay for it, and it didn't. So the reason why the Mishnah says Chayov l'shalim is because of kvod avihen. That's how Rebbe explained to his son, Rebbe Shimon, our Mishnah. Now, this interpretation goes against what Rava said. Rava said it's really talking about karka. So Rava seems to be disagreeing with the Tana, with Rabbi. So what does Rava say? Elama Rava. Rava says no. Ki shachivna Rabbi Yoshaya nafik lavasi. When I pass away, Rava's saying when he dies, he's certain that the Tana, Rabbi Yoshaya, is going to come out and greet him. Because Rava says, I didn't interpret the Mishnah the way Rabbi understood it, but I interpreted the Mishnah, my Shita, that's talking about actual karka, is the way the Tana Rabbi Yoshaya interpreted it. And therefore, I have a Tana that I'm interpreting the Mishnah like, even though it's different than the way Rabbi interpreted the Mishnah. What was Rabbi Yoshaya's opinion? The Tana Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Yoshaya understood the Mishnah as stated in the following Braisa. Hagozel umachal izbonov. If a person steals something and then gives it to his children, peturim milishalim. The children don't have to pay for it. If the father's not around, the children don't have to pay for it. He niach lifneyam. If the item was given over to the children as a Yerusha, so if it depends, gizelo kayemes, if it's still physically there, then chayavim. Then you do have to go and give it back. However, einak zelo kayemes, if they ate it up, kisha acholim, like Rava said, then peturim, the children do not have to go give it back. Again, they want to clear their father's name. They want to be yotzei bidei shamayim. So that's all different. Here we're talking about the pure din. The pure din is that they technically can say, listen, this isn't our responsibility. This was our father's geneva. The father's no longer alive. And that's something you have to deal with. We don't have to go pay back our father's debts. However, if he left the real karka, then that karka is lien to any debts that the father had, including geneva. And therefore, chayav mishalim. Then they would have to go pay from the Yerusha, pay off their father's debts, including this geneva. This opinion of Rav Hoshaya is exactly like Rav explained the Mishnah. So Rav said, oh, I don't hold like Rabbi, but I hold like Rav Hoshaya. Gemara continues and quotes the following statement that we had made. Omamar, we said, ein hagzela kayemes peturim. We said in the Braisa that if the gzela is no longer present, so then the Yorshim, in fact, don't have to go and return anything. They don't have to go and pay back the person that was, the item was stolen from, because kisha acholim. Now, according to the Rava, that worked out very well. But according to Rav Chista, they only don't have to return it if there was yeyush. So if there was yeyush, they don't have to return it. But if there was no yeyush, they would have to return it. Now here it seems to say that ein hagzela kayemes turin. It doesn't seem to mention anything about yeyush or not. So name a tevet yut to the Rav Chista. Maybe this goes against Rav Chista. So again, Rav Chista answers very simply. Omeloch Rav Chista, no. Kitan yahil yachyesh. No, this is talking in this brisa after yeyush. I agree, after yeyush, they don't have to return it. Before yeyush, then Ruvain, the one who was Nignat, has the right to get it from either Shimon or from Levi, from the Arshim. Furthermore, Amamar, we send the Braisa, if the Gzela is Kayemes, then Chayavim L'Shalim. Rav Hoshaya had said that, and this Rav agreed to, that if the item itself was still there, so then they have to go and return it. So this seems to be, name of Tevi Tiyufta, the Rami Bar Chama. What did Rami Bar Chama say? He argued with Rava. Rami Bar Chama said that the Rishus of the Yoreis is no different than the Rishus of the Lokeach. So Levi, the Lokeach, doesn't have to go give it back, even if it's extant, according to Rami Bar Chama. And so too, the Yarshim shouldn't have to go give it back, even if it's extant. So therefore, Rav Hoshaya's Braisa seems to be a Tiyufta to Rami Bar Chama. Why don't we say that? So Gemara says, Amalach Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama, the answer, no, he says, Ki Tanya Hi, this Braisa, and we turn to Kuf Yud Beis Omer Aleph, is dealing with Lifnei Yeyush. So therefore, the Braisa says that you have to give it back if it's around. That's because Lifnei Yeyush. Everybody agrees that the Ruvain, the original person that was Nignav, has the right to go get it back from either Shimon the Ganav or from the person that Shimon stole it to. because Reuven never gave up hope, and he's the Marakama, and he can go get it back from whoever he wants. So that's how Rami Rechava would explain the Braisa, but if it was after Yeish, then you're right, he wouldn't have to go give it back, Lishitaso of Rami Bar Chama. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.